God is good. And He is God. This morning, with His help, I'm going to be preaching from the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse. John 10:10. Title of the message this morning is, If Life's Not Abundant, Life Is Not Sacred. John 10:10 reads like this. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Pray with me, won't you? Father God, Lord, we thank You that Your Spirit still ministers. And we pray, Lord, for each individual that's in this place this morning. We pray for just that Your Spirit would minister to our hearts as only He can. That Your will would be done in our lives. That Your glory would be revealed in us. That You would be lifted up in this place and within each one of us. That before each one of us, any of us, leave this place today, Lord, we pray for Your will to be done in our lives. First and foremost, that every one of us would trust You as our Savior. And Lord, that we would follow You as our Lord. And Lord, we know that that's all we have to do. Love You above all else. And love each other as ourselves. Be lifted up here today, Lord. Let Your glory be revealed to us. Have Your way with everything that's said and done. Forgive this messenger. And Lord, do not allow my shortcomings to prevent this message from going forth. But carry it forth in the power of Your Spirit. Your power applied to our lives. And we give You the praise for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Excuse me. Do we know what today is? The kids said it was Sunday or in Sunday school. Today is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. We don't hear much about it anymore, do we? Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. You know how I like to share history on important days, right? Well, the history of Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is pretty straightforward and short. On January 13, 1984, then-President Ronald Reagan proclaimed January 22nd as the first National Sanctity of Human Life Day. The date was chosen to coincide with the then 11th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision, or this Supreme Court case, Roe versus Wade, which legalized abortion in the United States. This is the proclamation as it was articulated by then-President Ronald Reagan. He said, since 1973, more than 15 million unborn children, now it's more than 57 million, have died in legalized abortions, a tragedy of stunning dimensions that stands in sad contrast to our belief that each life is sacred. These children, over tenfold, now substantially more than tenfold, the number of Americans lost in our nation's wars, will never laugh, never sing, never experience the joy of human love, nor will they strive to heal the sick or feed the poor or make peace among nations. Abortion has denied them the first and most basic of human rights, and we are infinitely poor for their loss. We are poor not simply for their lives not led and for contributions not made, but also for the erosion of our sense of the worth and dignity of every individual. To diminish the value of one category of human life is to diminish us all. Slavery, which treated blacks as something less than human, to be bought and sold, if convenient, cheapened human life and mocked our dedication to the freedom and equality of all men and women. Can we say that abortion, which treats the unborn as something less than human, to be destroyed if convenient, will be less corrosive to the values that we hold dear. Jeffrey, did you miss the mark? Thereafter, throughout his presidency, President Reagan designated the third Sunday in January, which was the closest Sunday to the original 22nd date, as Sanctity of Life Sunday. His successor, George H.W. Bush, did the same throughout his presidency, but his successor, President Bill Clinton, discontinued the practice throughout his 8 years in office. And then his successor, George W. Bush, H.W.'s son, renewed the proclamation and did so every year of his presidency. Our current president has chosen not to do so. I came across something while preparing this week that I'd like to share. This is from a weekly blog titled More to the Point. It's written by Russell D. Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Don't usually share things like this, but it was just too good not to. This particular blog, or this particular week, the blog was titled, Why I Hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. He starts out by saying, I don't hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I think it's somehow unbiblical. No, indeed, the entire Bible throbs with God's commitment to the fatherless and to the widows and to his wrath at shedding of innocent blood. And I don't hate it because I think it's inappropriate. Just as every Lord's Day should be Easter with the proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus and Christmas with the announcement of the incarnation, so every Lord's Day should highlight the worth and dignity of human life. I hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I'm reminded that we have to say things to one another that human beings shouldn't have to say. Mothers shouldn't kill their children. Fathers shouldn't abandon their babies. No human life is worthless, regardless of skin color, age, disability, economic status. The very fact that these things must be proclaimed is a reminder of the horrors of this present darkness. This morning, as I opened the Bible to preach, I looked out and caught the eye of my sons, and I prayed that their children wouldn't have to hear a sermon against abortion or euthanasia. And I prayed that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren would grow up in an age when abortion is, as the Feminist of Life organization put it some years ago, not just illegal, but unthinkable. I hate Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I'm reminded that as I'm preaching, there are babies warmly nestled in wombs who won't be there tomorrow. I'm reminded that there are children, maybe even within blocks of this pulpit, who will be slapped, punched, and burned with cigarettes before nightfall. I'm reminded that our elderly men and women languishing away in loneliness, their lives pronounced a waste. But I also love Sanctity of Human Life Sunday when I think about the fact that I serve a congregation, with many who have brought children from troubled past into their own loving families. And I love to reflect on the men and the women who serve every week in pregnancy centers for women in crisis. And lastly, I love Sanctity of Human Life Sunday because I see men and women who have aborted babies finding their sins forgiven, even this sin, and their consciences cleaned by the grace of God through His Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll always need Christmas. We'll always need Easter. But I hope, please Lord, someday, and someday soon, that Sanctity of Human Life Sunday is unnecessary. And to that I would add a resounding amen. Amen. You know, abortion is a very controversial subject in our society, isn't it? As I prepared this week, I looked through so much of that controversy that I actually got to feeling a little sick about it. And some of you know I had that flu bug back on Tuesday, so I was a little sick anyway, and that's not the sickness I'm talking about. I cried, and I prayed, as I watched the video testimony of three Hispanic women who had worked in an abortion clinic. As they explained how the doctor, and I say doctor in title only, who is under investigation for killing babies outside the womb, as they explained how he performed his abortions. And I got to tell you, they went in graphic detail. And it was tough. And I cried and I prayed as I listened to young girls who had had abortions. I listened to them defend their choices. And I listened to others who were devastated by their choices. I cried and I prayed through the video testimony of a beautiful young girl. I mean, she was just a little doll, who said she didn't know how she was ever going to live with her decision. She didn't know how she could go on. She was just a teenager. And I cried and prayed through the video testimonies of women in their 50s and 60s who said they still suffered with the guilt of their decisions every day. And I cried and I prayed through all the comments about all these videos. Because you know today when they put those videos out on the internet, everybody comes out and starts sharing their opinion about it. Some of those comments were just filled with hatred, and it broke my heart. Some of them were on both sides of the argument, on the side that we would be on. And there was nothing but hatred in their comments. Mostly I cried and prayed because I've never seen at any other point in my life, I've never seen our society be so divided. So divided on its perception of what is right and what is wrong. It hurts to think of all those people who are so firm in their position. It hurts me to think about them standing before a holy, righteous God, a Savior who gave Himself that they might go free. It hurts me to think about them standing before Him one day, and all of us will, won't we? The Word says that every one of us will stand and give account. They're going to stand before Him, the one that died in their place, and they're going to know for the first time that they were wrong and that they were on the wrong side of right. And it hurts me because I think it'll be too late. I think it'll be too late. Why is there so much controversy and disagreement about abortion? Do you want the simple or the complicated answer? The simple answer is sin. The complicated answer? Still sin. That's why there's so much controversy. The way which seems right to a man, that way always, always, always ends in death. It's what the Word says. The way that seems right to a man ends in death. Because man is a fallen creature whose nature is to sin. That's why it's so simple and that's why it's so complicated. That's why it took a fight to establish this country and a fight to stop slavery. It's why it took demonstrations and loss of life to stop racism and to gain women's rights. About the only thing that we can depend on mankind to do is the selfish and the sinful thing. Because that is what is within our nature to do. So what exactly are you trying to say, Pastor Bob? So glad you asked. There is no controversy. There really isn't. Abortion is sin. Not because I say so, not because that's somebody's opinion or their perception, but because God says so. There was an interesting video, and I wasn't going to mention it this morning, but it keeps coming back into my mind, so I think maybe I should. This young lady, and she kept, it was amazing to me because she kept saying that, I'm not looking at this from the view of religion. I want everybody to understand that. It was about a 13-minute video. She explained how when she was 15 years old, she got pregnant. And how her dad made her get an abortion. And she explained all the details of the abortion that she could remember. They'd put her out. And how she came into a room and that it was a room full of women on gurneys. And that they were all crying to a person. Every one of those women were crying. And she said, then she remembered how when her dad came to take her home, it was as though it had never happened. And they never talked about it again. And so she became pro-choice. And she was very firm about it. She later moved out of the house. She was in her late teens, early 20s, and she moved to Colorado. And she met a gentleman through a friend. And both of these friends were pro-life. And they had great discussions and arguments, she said. Well, one day her and her boyfriend found out that she was pregnant. And during the beginning of this pregnancy, they talked a great deal about the baby. And she kept telling her boyfriend, it's not a baby. It's not a baby yet. She kept insisting on that. And she said the boyfriend just kept patiently smiling back at her. You know, just wait, you'll find out. And about 5 or 6 months into her pregnancy, she became pro-life. Now, it was strange to me that she kept being so firm on the fact that this wasn't a religious argument. And some of the things she said hurt because she said, I don't want you to think that I'm coming at you from a judgmental opinion, meaning that we that are religious or that are Christians judge people. That bothered me some, but she said, I just want you to know that I have been converted because of what is going on within me, that this is a baby, and this is my baby. And it was heart-wrenching, and it was also a blessing. But abortion is a sin because God says it is. Just as certainly as stealing through tyranny or taxation without representation is sin, just as certainly as forcing someone into slavery or discriminating against them because of their gender or their race is sin. And to those who might say, Pastor, aren't you sort of putting words in God's mouth? I'd answer, God doesn't need me to do that. God does a pretty good job of being God. And His words and His word speaks for itself. This is a little paraphrase, but for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So, love God above all else and love your neighbor as yourself. Because, as surely I say to you, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. That's how I know that abortion is sin. Can't we all agree that God thinks and believes that our life, or all life is sacred? So what do? Do we put ugly words on a sign and stand outside an abortion clinic, proclaiming our hatred for abortion? How about we start shooting doctors who perform abortions? Or maybe we blow up abortion clinics. What was it we said last week? We, you and me, are never going to overcome sin by pointing out sin or by pointing at sin. We're not going to do that. When we do that, we just judge, don't we? Remember, only God's God, and He's the only one who can determine what is sin and what isn't. Am I saying we should condone sin in the life of others to get to the point where we begin to even overlook or sin in our own lives? Because that's really what we're afraid of, isn't it? We see it happening all around us, don't we? We see things happening in the church today that we know shouldn't be happening. We know that God's Word says it's sin. And yet we see different churches saying it's not anymore. It is. God doesn't change His mind. God doesn't look down and say, well, yeah, I guess I see your point. God knows. God is God. And He's the only one who is. He's the only one that can determine what is and what isn't sin. If God says it's sin, it's sin. It doesn't matter what mankind says. It doesn't matter what our government says. It doesn't matter what they make legal or they don't make legal. It doesn't matter, because one day every one of us are going to stand and give account before God. And if God says it's sin, it doesn't matter what we say. It's sin. No, I'm saying every one of us on the planet are lost in sin. And every one of us are without hope except for the grace of God found in a person of His Son, Jesus Christ. So let us endeavor to point both our own life and the lives of those around us. Let's endeavor to point our lives toward Christ, because that's the only way we can overcome sin and its hold on us. We are all sinners. Every one of us. We like to rate it. And we like to hang around with like people. Whatever you guys usually do is okay for me. Whatever I do is okay for you. Well, that's not true. We need to see what God's Word says. And we need to point people to Christ. We need to love God above all else. And we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's all the Lord told us to do. Take up our cross, follow after Him. And we've done our part. We've done what we were called to. We need to love those people. Even those people that are performing those abortions. We need to love them. Because certainly they need the grace of God. I was going to ask you if you noticed what was running on screens this morning, but it's not up there. Oh. I know, Sam. How long has it been running? 20 minutes. I was going to ask you if you noticed it, but now do you notice it? This is an abortion counter. It's counting the number of abortions worldwide and in the United States. The abortions that have taken place. Since we've loaded this page worldwide, 1,550 abortions have taken place in 20 minutes worldwide. Worldwide today, since 12 o'clock last night, 52,846 abortions have taken place on this planet. How many have taken place altogether, Jeff? 60,764 in the United States this year. By Planned Parenthood, 17,000. Since 1970, $438,000. Since Roe versus Wade in the United States, 57,032,765 abortions have taken place. And what worldwide? 1,282,025,542 since 1980 worldwide. that many lives lost to abortion. Last week I talked about I didn't know how we were going to stand before God and how we were going to give account for our unwillingness to live our lives for Him. How we were going to tell a Savior how I was going, I just personalize it, how I was going to tell a Savior who died for me that I didn't care about others who were dying. I didn't know how I was going to stand before Him and tell Him or give account for my unwillingness to live my life for Him so that the world around me might see Him in us or in me. Church, I also can't comprehend how we'll explain our efforts, our lack of effort in stopping that counter. But it needs to stop. You know, it could be we don't have the cure for AIDS or cancer because we've killed the man or the woman that was going to give it to us. So what do? Any and everything that we can. Give to an adoption in our pregnancy center or even volunteer your time at one of those organizations. I was going to talk to you about the baby bottles that we filled out last year. It was ironic that we had the cans for Camp Allen. It's wonderful that we give to Camp Allen. It really is. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. They do wonderful things over there. I've talked to just tons of people have the same testimony that Shay had. And like I said this morning, tons of people that they've met the person that they married and they're both in church somewhere. And it's wonderful what they're doing. But we got to get them born and get them over there, don't we? Like I said, in a short time we'll be giving out those baby bottles on Mother's Day to help one of these organizations. And I've got one in mind this year that's here local. Let's fill them up. Let's fill those baby bottles up so that they have what they need to reach more of these ladies. But first and foremost, we need to understand. We have to understand. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. As sure as we have a way which seems right to us that leads us to death, we have an enemy who would lead us down that way every time. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. If life's not abundant, life is not sacred. You cannot understand what life is until you know Jesus Christ. I can tell you from personal experience, I had no idea what life was really about. I never had experienced love in my life, not true love, until I met Jesus. It blessed my heart this morning when Shay testified. She's done that to me before in Sunday school too. She makes me cry. But she has a sincere heart. She loves the Lord. I think I've shared with you before with Steve Brown, a guy down there in Florida, said, he said, if you've never stood in the presence of God and been in awe or been afraid, then you've never stood in the presence of God. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you really don't know what life is about, and you really have never experienced love. So first and foremost, we have to understand that we have an enemy. And we also have to understand that we have a Savior and that He came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. In other words, all of my Christian efforts don't mean a thing if Christ isn't in me. You can do a lot of good things. I know a lot of good people who are just as lost as they can be. People that are better examples of what a good person would be than what I am. I worked with a gentleman like that. He was a wonderful person, but he's lost. And when he stands and gives account at the end of his life, unless something changes, he's going to hear the words, "Depart from me." All of our efforts won't matter if Christ isn't at the center of them. If what we do isn't through Him, it won't make any difference. Living abundantly isn't about paying it forward. Living abundantly is about His love compelling us. His love within us compelling us to love Him and to love others. And when that is our compelling force, we can make a difference. Because the Word tells us that we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens us. If His love is the driving force, we can change lives. Because He can change them through us. Change mine. Change Shay's. He's not a respecter of person. He can change all of those too. All they have to do is see Him. Statistics tell us that 40% of all pregnancies in our society end in abortion. 40%. Don't have to be a mathematician to know that some of us may have already been or may someday be affected by abortion. I have been. I want you to know this morning that just as Jesus is the answer to every other sin in our lives, Jesus is the answer for abortion. He is. Let me go a step farther. Jesus is the only answer. There is no other answer. It's just Jesus. Remember, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Every one of our lives are sacred to Christ. And He, Jesus, is the only one who can sanctify us. And as I understand His word, it doesn't matter what we've done. When He hung on the cross, some of His last words were, "It is finished." That tells me that no matter what we have done, what He did was enough. That every one of us could go free. Every one of us. He came, He lived, He overcame sin and death, that every one of us might have the opportunity to experience life abundantly through Him. This morning, don't let the thief steal, kill, or destroy you anymore. Am I saying there's some of us here that might have been involved in abortion? No, I don't know. I don't know. But I'm saying we don't have to let that enemy steal from us. We don't have to let him destroy our lives. We don't have to. We can find forgiveness. And it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what we haven't done. It doesn't matter. We can find forgiveness in Jesus Christ. We can find an abundant life in Jesus Christ. And like I said, that's the only place that it exists, is in Christ. We're going to have a song of invitation. If God's Spirit has spoke to you this morning, and please understand that it is His Spirit, then we're inviting you to come and to pray. One thing I know for certain, if you call out in His name, He will meet you there. Would you all stand, please?